Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And let's pray before we read God's Word. Father, we thank you for the story of salvation in Jesus. We thank you for the wonder of his birth, for the somber message of his death, for the glorious hope of his resurrection, and we thank you for the ascension where Almighty God, mission complete, returns to heaven to accept the praise and the celebration of the angels and saints before. And we pray, Father, that you would restore to us the knowledge of the hope that one of us has made it, and one of us is in heaven, and that we too shall be with him forever. Lord, we ask that you would give us the blessing of your Holy Spirit this morning as we talk about the Christmas story in the Gospel of Matthew. We pray that you would reaffirm for us the comfort of God with us, and that you would strengthen us in our lives, whatever we are facing in life, with the knowledge that God is with us, even to the end of the age. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, we begin with, or chapter 1, we begin with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This much that we read from God's Word. Is there any truth more comforting than to say God is with us? When we say God's with us, we're living the Old Testament dream. We have exceeded Eden. We have surpassed the tabernacle or temple. We've gone beyond the day and the age of the prophets. God is with us. But more, since God is with us, there's nothing we cannot face. No blessing is too big, no challenge is too hard. Almighty God is with us. His presence makes coping possible. The comfort of God with us dries tears and it heals broken hearts. His presence makes coping, this coping possible. Well, at least until the next wave of sorrow. But even then, there's no consolation greater than God is with us. We're among the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Or we're the most delusional. We either have the greatest comfort or we're greatly confused. And what is it? Matthew specifies that his gospel is the book of the genealogy of Jesus, and our text narrows that genealogy down to the Genesis of Jesus. Our English Bibles all give us a heading to say that this section is about the birth of Jesus, but it's a bit a different story than the birth of a child. For example, if I were to tell you about the birth of Laura or Michael in Liberia, there would be details or aspects of the story that would entertain you, that would cause sorrow, and bring you to tears. Your birth stories are different than most stories. But Matthew isn't really interested in those kinds of details. That's not the birth story that he's talking about. Matthew wants us to see the birth story as the Genesis, the new beginning, and that's the word that he literally uses. And he wants us to see it in the light of the details of God promising his blessing and carrying.
There we go. For example, we don't merely have the Joseph story. We have the Joseph story bracketed by the Holy Spirit's intervention in Joseph's story. And we don't only have the news of the birth story. The only part of the birth story that Matthew tells us is Mary had a baby. That's it. That's the birth story. Everything else is backstory. It's the bigger details of what's going on. It's God coming through His Word and God coming in His messenger and Joseph and Mary responding. And that kind of opens the door, doesn't it? Maybe Matthew intends to tell the story in such a way to show that we are drawn into God's story and we too have a response to God one way or another. First of all, let's see that God creates the birth story. So point one, God creates the birth story. A, God created the Christ story. This is obviously the message of Matthew. Yes, Joseph is a big part of this story, but he's really not too active. It's all a dream that comes to him and tells him, and the verses connect to Joseph and his life, but God creates the encounter, both by way that he determined to use Mary and the way he determined to use Joseph and the way that he connected with Joseph in a dream. This is God's story. It's about God, about Christ, and about salvation. And it's a very old story. In fact, it's the original story. God creating the Christ story is the original story. Paul told the Ephesians quite simply that God chose us in Christ before creation. So salvation in Christ is the original story. Later, Paul affirmed that same message again to the Ephesians, but this time through Timothy in the context of Paul's own suffering and the end of his life. He affirms in 2 Timothy 1:9 that God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose, His own grace, which He gave to us in Jesus Christ before the ages began. Before time began, God gave His blessings in Christ. Salvation in Christ is the original story. Creation is not the original story. Salvation is the original story, and creation becomes the platform for redemption and salvation in much the same way that Joseph and Mary become the servants and the platform for the very manifestation of salvation. So God created the original Christ story. Actually, it's a story that we call the covenant of redemption, where the triune God makes not a one-time covenant like He did with Abraham or Adam or Noah and Abraham and David that He might renew, but He creates an eternal covenant, a covenant that had no beginning and no end. It's an agreement within the Godhead where God the Father and God the Son agree to their parts of the salvation process. It's a covenant made before universe was created. In reading the Gospel of John this past month, we saw indications of that covenant in John 6 and John 17, where God reaffirmed His promise to enable people or to draw people to the Son. His promise to keep all of those that He has saved. And so it's this carrying out of this covenant. But this story centers on a crisis pregnancy. Matthew tells us in verse 18 that the Holy Spirit created the situation with Mary. He affirms that again in verse 20. In verse 21, he tells us that Jesus is specifically born to save His people from their sins. And we learn that this salvation will be effective because God Himself is with us. And Joseph knows this situation. Did Mary tell him before it happened, or did he notice her growing belly? Those details are not given to us. Joseph has considered his options, and he had to be heartbroken, didn't he? I mean, one way or another, Joseph had to be heartbroken. Even if Mary tried to explain that God did this, he had to say, how would that happen? I mean, the guy just had to be devastated. There are only so many practical reasons for this situation. Can we find fault in him for being so logical and being hurt? So Joseph decides the best plan is to not expose Mary to ridicule or to shame, and that's the culture of the day. There isn't any easy separation. Mary would be an outcast. She would have to move to a different community, certainly, maybe even to a different country. So Joseph determines to not make anything known. but to divorce her quietly before their engagement becomes a full marriage. Maybe he even helped to offered to help her relocate and get her past the vision of stares and gossip. Again, that part escapes us. But he got to this point. He got to this point that the thing to do was to very quietly let her go her own way, and God intervenes. His resolution is challenged when a messenger of the Lord comes. And so we see, if point B is the crisis of pregnancy, point C is the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. And again, we see how God is in control. God sends his servant messenger to Joseph. The angel explains the situation. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Is the angel speaking a public fear? Is he speaking a personal fear? And again, those things are not important. They're not part of the story. But the reason behind the command to not fear is no mystery. The reason to not be afraid is to take Mary at his wife is very direct. Do not be afraid, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Let the work of God subside your fear. This pregnancy is an act of God. Well, they all are, we say and we teach. And they are. But this one is directly so. The conception is a miracle such that literally the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And secondly, Roman numeral 2, we see that Joseph and the news of Emmanuel. Point A, the prophetic hope of God is with us. We know the story of Isaiah. We've even read the story of Emmanuel in our Advent readings. We've used the text of Isaiah for this past month to remind us of what's happening. There's a historic pregnancy of Isaiah's day to prove that God is present with his people. And no one of that day thinks of a true virgin giving birth in the day of Isaiah and Ahaz. The scholars look at that story of Isaiah promising to Ahaz that the young woman will give a child, and when that child is born, that will be the proof that God is with them. But now the mystery is revealed. God's little sign in the day of Isaiah has become a big sign in the day of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. The birth of a baby to a young woman has become the unscientific, specific, literal birth of a baby to a virgin by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And that fulfillment of God with us becomes an ongoing hope for us. Point B, the fulfillment of hope of God with us. Imagine the hope of the prophecy from Isaiah to Ahaz. And in our day, a virgin that we both know will give birth. That's God's message to Isaiah, God's message from Isaiah to King Ahaz in summary. A young woman that we know is going to have a baby. Maybe she was a pregnant young woman. She's going to have this baby. And at that time, you will know God is with you. That baby will be the proof that God is with us. That baby will be Emmanuel, God with us. And the only twist is the sign of Emmanuel did not mean happiness in the day of Isaiah and Ahaz. It meant on that day when that young woman had a baby, it meant that Ahaz was doomed. That God was going to bring his judgment. And we go back to 2 Chronicles and we read that in a single day, 120,000 Israelites were killed. 200,000 wives, women, sons, and daughters were captured. 320,000 were moved away because Emmanuel, God with us. God with us became a sign that was proclaimed for centuries. Do not take God lightly. Do not ignore the word of God. Do not take God carelessly. Do not think that you determine the future and that you determine your destiny, because God is with us and he may have an entirely different plan. Now, Matthew joyfully proclaims by the power of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the prophecy of Isaiah had more life, literally, than anyone ever thought. That there was a literal fulfillment in Mary's body, and literally a virgin does bear a child. this child is the sign of Emmanuel, God with us, who is so clearly seen as God with us that the previous sign is only a template, and the details of which are not even remembered. We know the prophecy, but we don't remember those details that I just gave you. We didn't even remember, most of us, that the sign of Emmanuel in Isaiah's day was a bad thing, or that it was a judgment sign. It always means good things because of Matthew's retelling of the story and bringing it to light. But the fact of the matter is that this God with us is the fire, and that's just the smoke. It's just a sign, a type, a template, setting it in place. But it is sobering because it tells us that when God is with us, He always has a regard for Himself and for His word and His will. It may involve hardship. It may involve joy. And it becomes that tension of God with us. Joseph wakes from his dream. He rises from his bed. He takes Mary as his wife, preserving her virginity until this baby is born. And he names him Jesus. Yah saves. That's his name. That Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, Yah saves. The sign of death becomes a sign of hope. The sign of death and destruction, where 320,000 are moved out of the community. Can you imagine that in Spokane? Let's think about that. 320,000, over half the population, gone in a single day. We would remember that sign. But it now becomes transformed. The sign of death becomes a sign of hope for life and living. And that brings us to point C, the comforting hope of God with us. That's the hope of Emmanuel today. The hope of Emmanuel today is God with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? If God is carrying out His plan and His will, who has the strength to oppose Him? Emmanuel may have been the sign of death and destruction, but marvelous to say, Jesus has become our death, so that Emmanuel now becomes a sign of hope and blessing. We read yesterday in the devotional, I hope the two typos didn't trip you up. The reading was John 19, verse 16. And Jesus cried out on the cross, Tetelestai, paid in full. Paid in full. The death of Emmanuel, God bearing our curse, is the final sign. And it is a sign of judgment. It is a sign of death, but Emmanuel bore the death. God with us, our Savior, is able to save, and He paid in full. We behold the salvation of our God. The death for Emmanuel, the true Emmanuel, God with us, is not the final word. The power of God always has the last word. Jesus was raised from the dead. And even John and Mary Magdalene, the people who knew Jesus best, struggled to overcome the fact of His death. They didn't recognize Him at first. They didn't believe fully. John even went into the empty tomb and said, well, I believe that Jesus is alive because He's not here. But he confesses to us, but I didn't know that this is what the Scriptures were talking about. And maybe we too trip over a few details of the story. Maybe conflicts of life or things that we think we know or think we understand become a barrier to seeing biblically instead of helping us in the way that we think. But knowing God with us is to confess that God Himself will break through the barriers of self and sin, and He will bring resurrection life. John tells us that he hopes all his readers will believe in Jesus, and that by believing in Jesus, they will have life in His name. Matthew tells us at the very end of his gospel that he has one lingering message from Jesus to the church. And he says, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now that opens all possibilities for us, doesn't it? God with us is God with us till the end of the age. And how does Jesus keep his word? God the Spirit dwells within us, that we become the new tabernacle, the new temple. We become temples of the living God. Jesus' promise encourages us in every situation of life. He is with us to the end of the age. And by God's work in us, that becomes enough. That becomes our strength. That becomes the power that brings us through, that dries our tears. It soothes our hearts. It settles a confused mind. Because Emmanuel fulfilled destruction, there is hope in Jesus. There is hope of newness in Jesus. And in Jesus Christ, we behold the salvation of our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for not just transforming a sign of Emmanuel, meaning death and destruction and displacement, to a literal fulfillment of that part of the sign as well. That Jesus the Christ bore the weight of your wrath upon sin in his death on the cross. That he could cry out in his own native human tongue, Tetelestai, paid in full. That all accounts are settled. And now there is the hope of the resurrection for those who are yours in Jesus. Father, fill us anew by your Holy Spirit. Lead us in ascension hope that we will live our lives with our eyes upon Jesus. And that we would know that in Jesus Christ we have a new home. That in Jesus Christ we have a new purpose, a new meaning. And he is the fullness of our living. That we would live to bring honor and glory to you alone. Forgive us when we backtrack and we settle into living for self. We settle into our own desires instead of service for you. And lead us and drive us, Father, in that blessing of the promise that Jesus Christ is with us forever. That Lord God Almighty, Emmanuel, carries us through the journeys of life and brings us to the glory of heaven. Father, keep your word, fulfill your promise, draw all of those that you save to yourself in Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.